Welcome to Spirit Healer, a Hearthstone Mercenaries podcast. Your resting point between quests. Let's join our hosts as we talk about this week's events in Hearthstone Mercenaries.
Welcome to Spirit Healer, a Hearthstone Mercenaries podcast, a podcast focused on taking you through Mercenaries news, updates, and weekly topics to keep you at the top of your Mercenaries game. I'm Dragon Rider, joined as always by my fellow hosts, Cinder and Simba. How are you two doing today?
Yo, yo.
We're surviving. We're glad to be here. Hope everyone else is glad to be here as well.
Yep. Today is definitely Bones Day. I got bones, so let's do it.
Yes. I know that reference. I'm not as old as I feel. Yes.
Well, I mean, if you have access to TikTok, I think that's not really age related.
Okay. I have felt very old lately, so I think I'm just going to take this. It's a bones day. All right. So we'll take the win. Exactly. Well, you know, we've talked about our first impressions last week, and it has been a little bit over a full week now since the release. So let's talk about some things that have already kind of been fixed and patched and adjusted, and walk through a bit of news and some tournament stuff and some overall things that we just want to talk about. So I'm going to jump into kind of our news here. Yesterday on Tuesday, we had patch 21.4.3 drop, and they fixed a couple of things. They fixed a bug that blocked a small number of players from entering Mercenaries using certain devices. So if you were having that issue, that should be fixed. You can try again. They have fixed certain Mercenary tasks that couldn't be completed. So like King Mukla's task 9, Karen Bloodhoof's task 2, Antonidas's task 3, and Berengen's task 10 should all be fixed. They fixed a bug where dealing critical damage to Jaina prevented her ice block talisman from triggering. Yes, that is fixed. And then they also increased the spawn rate of furl bogs in the Winterspring area. We were talking about this a little bit because I went through that last week and I struggled. It was so, like,
oof.
I don't know. I feel like I only saw furl bogs in one fight. So I had to do like a ton of runs to complete that, because how many are you supposed to do? You're supposed to kill like 15 or 20 or something for
the quest line. I think it's at least 20 furl bogs.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, it's okay,
it was not easy. Sucks. No.
Yeah, so they increased that. Yay. So anybody that hasn't done that part of the like quest line, then hopefully you don't have as difficult of a time completing that.
Yeah, and it's super awesome that they fixed that. I like I said, I finished it on accident. In Fellwood, I thought that Raven the Hunter, I was like, that looks like a furl bog. So I just kept clicking on that Fellwood bounty, like the very first one, a normal and in heroic, and just cleared it on accident. It took me like less than 2 days. I didn't know there was a problem with it either, though. But it doesn't say that Raven the Hunter spawns furl bogs. I just thought that he looked like a furl bog, so I went there.
You know, they're all like vaguely bear shaped.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to get confused.
So I was wrong, but I was right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. They're like bear owl hybrid things for anybody that doesn't know what we're
owl,
talking
bear,
about.
Owl bear, bear cats, yeah. Whatever.
Exactly. Then we have a couple other, we have some posts that came out from some of the devs. So we'll talk about those. One was from Kaiser that was posted in, I think, well, it was posted on Reddit, but it looks like it actually came from the Mercenaries Discord as well. But talking about that even though these bugs were fixed, you know, there's still some more stuff that they're looking into. One thing that was interesting that Kaiser posted is they'll be moving forward with expanding and loosening the matchmaking and seeing how that goes over this next week. And they're looking into fixing the rematch bug, which is interesting as well. I've heard a lot of people who've like, I faced off against the same person 5 times in a row. I'm like, what? Because if they're trying to mirror other things, you shouldn't be doing that. So hopefully that does get fixed.
Yeah. I think it's kind of it's still, I think that's still a reflection of the fact that most people are grinding still and haven't really jumped into the mosh pit, so to speak. So I think that'll change over time, but but adjusting the MMR still not a bad thing. But I also think it'll partially self-correct once more people are finished leveling their mercs and are ready to jump into competitive.
Yeah. I haven't ran into any duplicates, but I also don't have any games under my belt. I'm at like 4,000 rating or so, just dabbling in a couple things. So actually, I face mostly bots, if we're being honest.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to ask, are you still facing a lot of bots at that point?
I would say much less than before, like right around 4,000, it started to be like 2-to-1 real people, whereas before it was like 3-to-1 bots.
Wow, really? Okay.
Yeah, for me.
Hmm. Yeah, because I noticed today when I played, which would be after the patch yesterday, and maybe they're still changing that, but I ran into almost exclusively actual players today and no bots. I'm at like 6,500, 6,600. Mm-hmm. But I even found some of the matches in less than a minute. I was like, whoa, I'm finding matches so fast.
Speed run that. Yeah, that's awesome that it's like that up there. I mean, there is a whole, you know, the leaderboard, the top 200, it's not solidified by any means, but there's some people in the 7,000-9,000 range. And so if that's where the bots are carrying people to, then that's where most of them will be sitting at, yeah?
Right.
Yeah. Well, a couple other things listed here by Kaiser. Other fixes / quality of life we're going to address in the near future is letting you view your team during treasure selection. Hey,
that's a win. I'm very excited about that one. Thank you very much.
Yeah, like that's what Simba brought up. You know, being able.
I
want to
know if he listens to the podcast or if it was random. Like he was like, "This would be a good idea," because I thought it was a great idea.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not gonna own up to it though. If they copped your idea, they're just gonna be like, "What?
That's fine.
Fair deal. I've never heard of it."
Maybe somebody else heard it and then posted, and they saw that person.
I just want to feel important.
you are important.
You're important to us.
Yes.
I'm excited for that one.
Yes. Well, how about this one too? I feel like we brought this one up, but saving equipments / portraits on a per deck basis.
So portraits I could care less about, but that one's super awesome. That means really nice. If you know, if it has to come together, at least the fact that they're letting you do equipments on a per deck basis is phenomenal. Especially if you forget, right? You're running into the same person twice, you're like, I need to switch decks, you swap, then you have the wrong treasure and you know, accidentally lose 400 MMR and you're just like, well, that should not have happened. So the fact that they're on top of that, I have my eyes on that one too.
Yeah, that one is just super necessary. I mean, that's not even quality of life. Like that one's just required to play correctly, I feel like. Because you can't just have your comp different for two different decks, but then not totally different because you have to go back and change something else that's independent of the decks themselves. Like that doesn't make any sense. Like the equipment selection should absolutely be specific to the deck. Like, no question.
Yeah, and it's interesting because equipments are kind of this whole new thing. Like, we've never really had anything like them before in Hearthstone, so that may have just been, like, an oversight that they didn't think of, you know, or they just thought, oh, it'll be fine, like, you'll put your equipment in, and maybe they didn't really expect the amount of people wanting to use different abilities in you know, per deck, or I don't know what the thinking is there, but... Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I feel like I would have overlooked that just because it's kind of this new, different thing than what we're used to. But there is a note here that does say, to set expectations a bit, this won't make it some of the next patches, as those are already in the pipeline. So if you see other things in there, just know that they were already planned way in advance. So they've already planned some stuff. These things are something that they're going to be addressing in, like, the future patch. I guess like probably a couple patches out.
You know, it's the thing that occurs to me with that is gosh, I just totally had a no bones brain moment for a second. With tournaments, it's as tournaments and competitive play start to become more popular, it's gonna be challenging for the equipment thing is going to be a challenge for tournament organizers and judges, because it's difficult to check the equipment in the middle of a game. So you could have two comps that have the same mercenaries in both, but have different equipment selections, and you wouldn't be able to tell unless you really knew what you were looking for, you know, as the game was progressing. So that might be an issue further down the road. And the reason that came to mind is I hooked up with our friend Bemi from Attack Mode. They were working on setting up spectator mode for a tournament. And in Hearthstone, you can spectate both people and see their hands. Well, in Mercenaries, there's no hands. You have to be able to see both players, action selection, which in order to do that in Mercenaries, you have to have multiple accounts doing that. But kind of just beside the point, but it made me think that, you also can't see the equipment selection either, which is actually super relevant. So it's, I wonder if there's a way that they can work that into the UI, at least for the spectators, that you can see what equipment is active at the moment.
I hadn't even considered that, honestly. Thing is, I have not played in a tournament yet, but as someone who wants to watch a lot of them, that's something that I would use almost all the time for both recognizing combos and just note-taking for myself, Why is this treasure used in this composition as opposed to what the other person's using? Especially if it's a mirror match with different treasures. Those get talked about a lot.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I mean, coming from the Pokemon VGC world, I mean, I can tell you, item selection matters a lot in mirror matches. Those little things can make all the difference in whether or not you're favored in a matchup.
Yeah, and again, that's right. We haven't had anything like this before in Hearthstone, whereas other games, like you're talking about, Pokemon has it. Even in some of the other auto battler games, you put equipment and items and stuff on your units, but we haven't had anything like that in Hearthstone, and it's definitely something that maybe matters more, especially for PvP, than maybe what people expected, like you were both saying. But yeah, that would definitely be huge to kind of know what they're playing, especially like you're saying, as a tournament organizer or somebody. And we're gonna talk in a few minutes about some tournaments, but yeah, that definitely would be. I've seen multiple people posting on Twitter or in Discords about their comps, what's doing well, and that is definitely the biggest thing. It's easy to just screenshot the deck and look at the mercenaries, but either the person who's screenshotting and sharing hey, I got blah 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 rating with this comp, then they have to either make separate posts or they have to do some sort of other screenshotting and some clipping and pasting of the actual items or whatever. And it's definitely been this whole big thing, I feel like, when people are sharing that or showing that, is that that's been a big discussion point, and I've seen a lot of people posting it very differently across Twitter.
I'm looking at my party right now, and you go in, right? You get to your party, you have to click one, and then so it's not too far to get there, but yeah, it's just one page with one mercenary, so you'd have to do that about 6 times at a minimum to get screenshots of them.
Yeah,
it does tell you what level from there, though.
It's a lot. Yeah, I think, but of course, Battlefy doesn't even rely on screenshots. They actually have, at least for Hearthstone, you just paste in a deck string and it picks up all the stuff. So hopefully they have something similar for mercenaries where you can copy paste a code string that'll, denote what all the equipment selections are. Then you can just paste that into whatever system that you're playing through.
Yeah. I'm sure that's something that they'll look at and hopefully can be another one of those kind of quality of life things that's added into the game in the future. But I would definitely love to see more with the equipment stuff and showing that. Another thing, talking about specific mercenaries and kind of things that they added, with the patch that came out, we also saw some stuff added to the shop. And one of those, which it looks like has since been taken out of the shop, but there was $4.99 for a legendary, and whoo, that sparked some heated discussion on social media, we'll say. But just a little bit of background and what was going on there is that people were buying that and posting and saying, hey, I already have this legendary, what's up? Or I already have this portrait. Or they would even buy that and then it would just give them coins. And it was what's going on? So Deck Tech on Twitter posted this little thread saying, hey, everyone, since many of you asked about it earlier, wanted to explain how the random legendary Merc product works. The way it works is that it checks if you are missing any legendaries. This counts any art version, pre-purchase or regular. If you're missing any, you get a random base portrait for one you're missing. If you own them all, it selects a random base legendary to award you. If you already own the base version of the one it randomly selected, it converts to coins for that Merc. If you don't already own the base version of that Merc, you get the base version you rolled. That's why some people who have all the legendary Mercs got a base copy of a Merc they got through pre-purchase, whereas others in that same situation got 100 coins for a different Merc. Yeah, this just felt felt off.
it felt bad. The $5 is already kind of pricey for a single card that you don't know what you're getting. But the thing that kind of that seemed to feel really bad, they had parallel to this, they also had the coin bundle where you spent, what was it, $6.99? So $7.
Yes.
For three sets of 250 legendary coins.
Yep.
So you're basically getting $7 for 750 coins, which is like, you know, a penny a coin, right? And then the $5 legendary, if it gets converted to coins, will only get you 100, not 500, which would seem to be logical. So it seems like a bad get, honestly, as far as coin value goes, which is probably why they took it down. On the other hand, I got to say this. If you already own every legendary in the set, why are you buying another one?
Yeah.
That's a valid question. I'd say that question makes too much sense, which is probably why that happened.
Yeah, I was considering it when I first saw it, because for me, I have everything except for two legendaries. So I thought for me, I was going to be guaranteed to get one of those two, since it checks for, you know, I was like, okay, cool. I would assume that that's something you're missing. So I'd get one of the two. But then as I started like looking on social media, people were posting like, I already have this mercenary, or I got coins. And I'm like, and so I held off. And then a couple hours later, it was out of the shop. So I was like, okay, I don't know what's going on there, but all right then. Glad I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Team 5, you have earned one oof for mercenaries so far.
One oof. I like it. Yeah. So that's an explanation if you were also in that same boat, or if you were curious about it and then you're like, oh, no, I don't see it. It appears that's what happened. So I don't know if they're going to bring that back, if they're changing it and then they're going to bring it back. I don't know anything like that yet, but it'll be interesting to see what offers they put in the shop in the future now, because I feel like right off the bat there, it's already seemed very bad PR-wise with the purchases. So
it wasn't we'll see even if that they... bad. I mean, it was... There was some grumbling, but, you know, they took it down pretty quick, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like, even just the perception ahead of time that it was just a, you know, it's a cash grab, it's, you know, all that. Like, there's been a lot of bad, you know, and less than desirable reactions to the entire system overall. So then that just added on top. I don't know. Maybe they're going to step back a little bit from that or readjust things before they put anything else up. I don't know. Well. Any other insights into like patch notes, adjustments, things happening before we jump into tournament talk?
I'm ready for tournament talk. I'm excited about tournament talk.
Yeah, for sure. Like seeing our first for realties competition was pretty cool, especially the data that came out of it.
Yes. Yeah. So that was the No Pros Here held. Was claimed as the world's first mercenaries tournament, which I think I had mentioned, but Molahu and I casted that, which it was a really cool experience. I really enjoyed casting that a lot. I enjoy casting. I love Hearthstone anyways, but from my like perspective of casting it, it was really cool to see kind of what people did. So the format was... It was a best of three double elimination, and they just brought their six mercenaries. But it was kind of interesting because they played the same person, you know, potentially three games. So, like, some of the time you'd see somebody and they'd, like, maybe they'd start with, I'll just say, the BTX, right? And if you haven't heard what that is Blade Master Samuro, the B. T is Thrall, and X is Zyrella. So that's kind of a three mercenary combo. So you'd see somebody maybe start with those as the three mercenaries. And then in game number two, they'd switch it up and they'd put something else out. And it was really cool to kind of see if they changed their strategy, if they played the same way, you know, kind of what they did with that knowledge of these are the only six mercenaries that they could play. So that was fun. I think viewership, there was like, when I was looking, cause I had the stream up, like 65 to 80 or 90 people watching on Mulahoo's channel for the most part. So I felt like that was a pretty decent viewership for just a small, you know, third party tournament the day after the mode came out. It seemed like people enjoyed it too. So did either of you get to like watch it or look at any of the stuff? I know there was some like stats and comps and stuff posted on social media and stuff.
I did not get to watch it.
I did tune in, although I was, you know, I was still crunching pretty hard on my deadline, so I didn't get to watch too much. But I did see the reporting that came afterwards, and a lot of interesting deck comp ideas floating in there. That some of them did pretty well that you would not have thought of, you know, going into it.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. Like, I'll give Zerotio a shout out, friend of many of us, I think, from the Hero Power podcast. He played. He actually got into the top eight, and he played a lot through the lower bracket because the double elim was great too. Like, there was some really cool like storylines of people that were like, you know, lost in the first round and then they like cruised all the way through the lower bracket and that, you know, did really well. So that was cool. But he was playing a demon comp, which was very exciting because that was kind of different from a lot of the other comps we were seeing. So it was really interesting to see what people brought the day after, with either they had to have bought like the pre-orders and stuff, or they really got a lot of mercenaries unlocked and leveled very quickly.
Yeah, I see. Here's Orochio's lineup: Gul'dan, Tamsin, Diablo, Rethorian, Jiraxxus, and Mannoroth, which is actually pretty much what I run just to get through the story mode, with the exception of Diablo. I don't have Diablo yet, so I've been shucks. Who's the Jiraxxus, Mannoroth, and see, now I can't remember who I'm using Vol'jin instead of Gul'dan. That's what I'm doing. Vol'jin, real good speed control. Yeah, have you used Vol'jin a bunch, Simba?
No. I've seen Vol'jin placed in either S tier or A tier of almost every single tier list that I found for some reason. And I say for some reason not because I think that they're wrong. I just haven't seen him used or used him myself. I'm talking like is level one, for me. But apparently, he's super good with shadow comps. And just some of the combos that he can activate or allow to happen are really nice. I've been using different casters for the grinding of coins and XP and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's a really nice combination of AoE and speed control. Like, his speed control abilities are just so good. You know, I think that was one of the things that I expected to be very important going in. Just, you know, I mention this a lot, but, you know, Pokemon VGC, speed control is everything. You know, being able to hit first and control the tempo of the battle, it means everything. It determines the entire framework of a matchup. So, like, being able to adjust your opponent's speed, you know, it's so, so powerful. Vol'jin really shines in that regard. But, you know, a lot of the comps that I see, just when the theory crafting was going on beforehand, people were generally trying to associate things by their by the damage type combo. So you have like fire comps and nature comps and shadow comps, and that really doesn't play as big a factor into actual competitive team building as people thought. Really, it's about which mercs have the best abilities that match with the other mercs that have the best abilities. So, you know, you have your best speed controls with your best damage output, with your best healing and your best taunt, whatever. And, you know, you use that to make your team. And if you happen to get combos to pop off, that's ancillary bonus. We call that lanyap down here, right? It's just extra. But, you know, combos are still good, but it's just not something you want to build around. You want to build around just what is good overall, you know, as opposed to what's good together.
Yeah,
that's probably accurate.
Yeah, it's been interesting because I feel like there's been so many people that like go one way or go the other. They're like, okay, well, you got to have these three and then just whatever to fill in, or these certain things. And it's like the strategies that are developing and changing already has seemed crazy. Like, and there was a post on Twitter actually from now I can't remember like what their title is, but they work at Blizzard doing statistical stuff, and they posted the top six like win rate wise comps in PvP for the first week. And I was really surprised because I think only two of the six comps had the Blademaster, Zamro, Thrall, Zyrella, which, you know, initially people were like, oh my God, that's so busted. Like, that's the thing to beat. And then all of a sudden there's this post that's like, well, in the first week of the stats, here's these six and only two of those have that.
I see Carryall used a lot.
Oh yeah, Carryall's super good.
Just in that specific comp.
Just the ability to self-heal and generate taunt on the one speed. It's very, like, a lot of other taunt warriors have to rely on a healer to heal them, but Carryall just self-heals, which makes it so good.
It's actually insane enough that I don't think anybody's talked about this, but there's a chance that, my personal opinion, they might slow down taunt. I don't know, but, you know, you run Carryall, Zyrella, Samuro, right? Taunt goes one. Zyrella hits directly afterwards. Samuro hits double directly after that. There's nothing you can do about it that I have seen personally. You cannot stop that with the way speeds are right now, besides having your own Carryall that taunts directly after theirs, which would block the Samuro hit. That's all I've been able to find.
Yeah. And out of the 30 or so players that were in this first tournament, I see only four BTX builds out of those 30. So still a huge wide variety of builds that are out there. And that's something that I found, it's going to be a drinking game with this. This is something that I found Pokemon, right? Like there are always like certain top tier choices, but not necessarily comps, because a lot of times that singular choice is enough to build around. And there's a lot of flexibility in that build around, you know, so once you have your star player for your team, you know, the rest is just complementary to that specific strategy. So there becomes those extra slots, you know, from two to six are a lot more flexible if your one spot is dedicated to, you know, to what you're building your strategy around.
I agree with that. As someone who played Pokemon for quite a while, probably not as long as everyone else. I think I started with Fire Red, but. Yeah, I've been doing that for a long time, and it's not always your starter that's your best, right? But you'll have some Pokemon that's 15 levels higher than everyone else, and just build around that, especially when stuff started coming into the 2v2 for competitive, which is closer to this with the basically 3v3.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are so many similarities. It's pretty wild. Like Pokemon VGC doubles, you get your party of six, and you select four of them to go to battle, and then two go to battle at a time. And in Mercenaries, you got party of six and three go to battle at a time. And then, you know, you rotate them out as they fall in battle. And it's very similar concepts. So there's part of that strategy that we saw play out in the tournament is just like, you know, not just the composition of the team, but also how do you open, you know, who's coming out first, who's coming out second, and how do you adapt that based on what you anticipate out of your opponent. So there's a lot of mind games that go on in that, where you're trying to guess what your opponent's going to do. We're like, Hearthstone was slightly more predictable. Like, if you saw a certain deck, you kind of knew what the game plan was. Like, you know what their curve looks like. You know what their early, mid, and then end game looks like. With Mercenaries, it's a lot more flexible because there's no mana curve. There's no you don't have to wait to turn 10 to get to certain things. Like, you're not looking for a specific one drop, you know, for this ramp deck. This is, you start with what you start with. And that choice makes all the difference. And your opponent has to play that same game. And you have to try to outguess each other as far as, like, how do you open and counter open against each other. And I think that's probably why, Dawn, that they decided to do a double elimination, because they wanted people to be able to play each other more than once, right? And be able to play that metagame and try to outguess each other.
Yeah. It was exciting to watch. I mean, obviously, I was casting it, so I was watching very, like, kind of in-depth, right? But it was really cool because there were times that we definitely saw that where people would just, they kind of went all in on what their comp wanted to do, so they would start the same no matter what. But then there were those mind games where some of the matches we watched, it was like they would change it up, right? First game, they'd play the first three, and then the second game, they'd change up which three started. And it was like, that was a really cool thing that I didn't expect. One of the other really cool things from that I felt like, especially casting, was the kind of pace throughout the match. In particular, when casting, I'm talking about like the pace of casting itself too. So we see this a lot in team games, fighting games, MOBAs, shooters, like all of those other games where there's kind of more chill moments, you know, the casters that might be talking like this, but then all of a sudden, then there's the hype, the fight's going, the teams are at each other's throats there, you know, and the hype is there, and, you know, they elevate their voices. And then after the team fight or whatever fades off, then they kind of bring it back down. And I felt like we had a lot of that in Mercenaries, where we haven't had that in just like standard, right? Or any of the other modes really for Hearthstone. So that was kind of exciting to me, because I think that in terms of tournaments and esports, I think that kind of level is going to really lead to a lot of really great clips, right? Moments, you know, little videos that people can watch that will also bring them into the game and attract them as viewers and that kind of thing too. So I'm really excited to see where like that can go further as well.
I agree. I think that's super cool. Well, pretty much the only times that I picture standard Hearthstone getting, you know, hype, we'll use that word, insane top decks and crazy combos that the casters didn't see for lethal. Not that that's a bad thing by any means, right? Like, Hearthstone's not it's not an FPS game, right? Like, there's not a bunch of sliding and spinning, right, and jumping and grenades and stuff like that. That's not what it is. So to hear that there was a lot of excitement behind it, I think that's awesome. That's amazing. You know, I come from Rocket League, which is basically all hype. I mean, that's what I was doing more competitively than Hearthstone even in my beginning time playing Hearthstone. Like, I played a lot of Rocket League and watched a lot of competitive Rocket League worlds, lands, 1v1, 2v2, 3v3. Like, everything was super hype all the time. But I never lost my love for Hearthstone. But to have a hype setting for Hearthstone, that would be something else.
For sure. Like, I've casted quite a bit too, you know, Dawn and I. Have we actually cast together at the same time?
I'm trying to think if we did or not. I think if we did, it was only once, but I don't know if we have.
Maybe for Badass Women.
Yeah, it was really early on if we did.
Mm. Well, anyway, like, just echoing what your experience with standard Hearthstone, it's kind of like a constant level of intensity, right? It's, you know, you're at that same hype, same volume, you know, and that's why the caster duos are so critical for Hearthstone, because you need to be able to pass the baton back and forth, you know, and give each other a break. But with the kind of the rhythm that Mercenaries has, where you have like the lull where you can the casters actually have room to talk to each other, and then the hype when the action happens, where you can, you know, do the really high intensity play-by-play. That's that same kind of rhythm that makes pro football so engaging for so many people, because there it has that, it follows that same pattern. You got 45 seconds between the play, and then you got 10 seconds of action, and that happens repeatedly for 3.5 hours, and it keeps people hooked because you kind of get that cycle of you know, rest and then, you know, and then impulse and then rest and then impulse, and it kind of triggers those happy chemicals in your brain when the action happens.
Oh my
God. Someone who's watched football for years, I had never considered that, like, being the reason why it was so engaging.
Yeah, I mean, you have the play-by-play who handles that high action point where you need that auctioneer voice to be able to just go a mile a minute, and then you have your analyst who can interact with the play-by-play during the period in between plays, right? That's how the whole system is designed. One of the networks experimented once with showing a football game with no commentators. The ratings were so bad that they stopped their experiment at halftime and brought in casters from somewhere in the studio. It's like, please cast the rest of this game because it's doing terrible. People need casters. It's vital to spectatorship.
Can't confirm. You know, I don't watch tournaments from my seat the whole time. You know, especially if I'm at home, right? If I've paid tickets and I'm there, right? Football game, I'm there. Great. But sometimes if I'm at home,
yeah, that's different,
you know,
right?
Put Twitch up on the TV, I'll put it on my computer. You know, some people are watching on their phones, right? Like, I'll go do stuff. If I can't hear anything, I'll go watch something else. Not because I don't want to watch the tournament, you know, but if I have to stay engaged for 100% of the time, right, reading everything, this, that, and the other, it's not necessarily a turn off, but like sometimes I have things to do and I want to be a viewer and I want to support. So if I can hear what's going on, you know, sometimes I'll put on Bluetooth headphones and listen around my whole apartment, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, watching streams or watching tournaments is becoming a very popular thing to do for people while they drive, while they cook dinner, while they work out, you know, all that stuff where they can't be necessarily watching 100% of it, but being able to listen. And I think this could, maybe I'll experiment with this now that we're talking about this, but that's also another reason I didn't think about it until you brought this up, Cinder, but I feel like that's also another reason why things like a lot of traditional sports or even like League of Legends has actually worked really well in audio only formats as well, probably because they do have that, they're explaining it. You don't necessarily need to see it, but then they have the hype moments, you know, those little bursts of something exciting. And then it goes back to more kind of analysis where you don't necessarily need to be watching. But for Hearthstone, that's been really difficult. Like I've tried. Yeah. It's really hard because you have to explain everything that you can see as well. But maybe Mercenaries could be a chance for like audio only like casting. To take off as well. That could be something.
Depends on how well you know it.
This that's true. I mean, well, yeah. It, when you have those break periods right in between the action, that's when you have the moment for the analyst to kind of explain what just happened. And that really goes back all the way to the beginnings of the history of broadcast sports, you know, because prior to television, we only had radio, right? So you had a 20-year period between the 30s and the 50s when most households only had a radio, and baseball was still the national pastime. And of course, baseball has much longer periods of rest for the casters. But the broadcasters, that was their whole job, was to explain exactly what was going on in terms that people could understand with only their ears. You know, there was 99% of your audience never saw a baseball game, you know, or professional baseball game. They only heard about them. Maybe you went to your local baseball, like your AA, AAA, but that's a, like you said, Senba, it's like, it's a totally different thing when you're there and you can give 100% of your focus to the game.
Yeah.
When you're relying on outside input, the audio is everything. You know, it's the video helps, but the audio is where you're actually getting your information.
Yeah, I am not a big traditional sports watcher. I have watched some like growing up, but I'm very much not somebody who has ever really gotten into sports. So hearing that kind of analysis and comparison and examples is fantastic. Like even for me, so like I'm just sitting here like, yeah, keep going, talk. Yes, more examples. Like this is great. I've suddenly turned into a listener of the show. I love it. But
yeah, I agree with everything that Cinder was saying there. My comment about depends on how well you know it was for anybody listening. It was less so for the casters and more so for the watchers, right? It's really easy to not have to focus on what's going on, right? If you know the layout of the board, you know what the cards are, you know what the goal of the deck is, or the mercenary's composition, right? And you know, you hear the name of a mercenary, a move, and where the attack went, and you can just like picture what's going on, right? Like you only have to come back when something's hype, and you can watch from rooms away and know what's going on. I mean, same thing with traditional sports, right? Like you're gonna want to come back and see the really cool plays, but if you hear, you know, hike the ball, quarterback fumbled on the 12, now the ball's on the 5, right? Like you know what happened. You didn't see what happened, but you know what happened if you watch football and you know what all the terms mean. You know what all the positions are and where everything is at. So I'm super excited to see. And I mean, I want to play in some tournaments, but I want to see how the casting turns out for these too. Like I'm more excited now.
Yeah, and getting into like, you know, the necessity of developing a vernacular around the game, so that to ease communication to the viewers, that's again like in standard Hearthstone, that's not something that happened very easily because every card did something very specific. So there were relatively fewer concepts that were communicated easily without explanation, as opposed to here where you could say, you know, Team A's warrior, you know, just did an AoE attack. I think AoE is generally understood that slowed down the entire other team. I don't have to say that it was Karen Bloodhoof doing ground stomp. I can just say the warrior did a speed debuff, and that is enough for a viewer to understand what's happening. Now, calling the cards by name helps them learn and make those associations, but there's a common enough vernacular that's going to start developing around mercenaries that's going to allow that kind of conveyance of information.
It's going to be super fun to see it evolve. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've been talking about the kind of the casting and listening to it, but Simba, you mentioned playing in some. Well, boy, howdy, do we have some mercenaries tournaments coming up. There are multiple tournaments coming up, several being put together. We have one that is, I couldn't find a link to it yet. I'm sure that'll go up, but it looks like a ton of the LATAM community has come together. They're going to be hosting a very large mercenaries tournament that is happening October 29th through the 31st. And signups will be starting on the 22nd. We'll have a link to one of the Twitter posts about it if you're interested in checking that out. You can follow some of those accounts there. There's like a hashtag as well you can check out and look at more of the posts. So the 22nd, just keep that in mind, and you'll get more information. That is Friday. That is Friday. So a week before, right? A week before the tournament starts is when signups are. So if you're interested in trying that, I don't know anything about the format yet or anything like that, but we do have some more information as well. Yes, Cinder, you mentioned Bemi with Attack Mode. Attack Mode is putting on, or ATK if you've seen it that way. They are putting on, basically, it's like two different tournaments. One is on the Europe server and one is on the Americas server. Those are both happening on Saturday the 6th, Saturday, November 6th. We'll have the link for the Twitter posts. You can have both of those links as well. It's on Battlefy, but a little bit interesting there. It's looking like you're going to start with a six-party comp. And then you will have submitted those six plus an additional four as like a sideboard. And it's going to be a best of five. Whoa. So, yeah, that's kind of interesting. That'll be a different kind of strategy than the first tournament that I was getting to cast. So going to be interesting to see what kind of like things people come up with there. But some chances if, you know, Simba, if you are able, you want to play in those, or anybody listening, you want to jump in and join those, at least try it out, see what it feels like playing a mercenaries tournament, then we're definitely going to be keeping our eye on those.
Yeah, I will definitely be keeping my eyes out on those, 100%.
I'll be, I might be casting them. That's part of the reason I was talking to Bimmy was about casting. Now, I can't say that for sure because the cat's going to peek out of the bag here. I might be moving soon, and it might be a big move, like across the country. So we'll see. But if I have time, if I can, you know, if I can schedule it and I can, you know, learn more of the, you know, some of these, you know, the team comps and stuff, then yes, for sure. I definitely want to try my hand at casting and see how it feels. Cause I love casting. You know, it's Hearthstone, you know, I had, you know, I was having my issues with Blizzard at the time, but, being back in the saddle, I definitely want to cast a little bit more again, for sure.
Yes. Me too. I always want to. I just love it so much. Anything. Okay. Well, is there anything else that either of you feel like you want to mention or we want to talk about? We didn't really have like a solid main topic today, but I feel like this was a good chance for us to kind of talk about some of the little nitty gritty changes that have happened and just some of the, you know, the tournament side of stuff as we've had one and there's a couple other coming up. I forgot to mention the big invitational one that's coming out. Well, it's kind of like a triathlon. It's like, think of it like a Hearthstone triathlon, really. It's kind of what it is. But it is the, what are they calling it? It's like the Global Invitational, I think. They've been kind of slowly announcing who are some of the players. But it is actually Mercenaries, Standard, and Battlegrounds. So they're having players from across all of those. I think they're just calling it the Global Invitational. But it's I'll read the tweet here. It's a week-long event showcasing the best players across Constructed, Battlegrounds, and Mercenaries. Will be live November 7th through the 14th on Twitch and YouTube. And so that's pretty sweet. Like I said, they've been kind of slowly introducing some of those. So tons of representation, which is awesome. I love to see there's a lot of women who are playing as well who've been invited. So that makes me very happy. Cool. But that'll be a really cool thing to watch and see. And I mean, this is coming from like China. So there's also, you know, a lot of Chinese players there. I think it's over four different regions, but they always put on like insane high value tournaments. So this is definitely going to be one to watch too.
And also like shout out to the LATAM community, because even back in the early days of Hearthstone, like they did so much work building a competitive environment for Hearthstone, and it seems like they're doing it again for Mercenaries. So they deserve so much credit and kind of like just groundswell as far as competitive. I mean, some of those people are still in the scene to this day, like Nalgaiden and Pesco are, you know, still around, still kicking cards and kicking butt. But yeah, like this triathlon kind of concept is actually pretty awesome. I don't know that a week long event is awesome, but I like the idea of bringing in different people who have strengths in different sections of the Hearthstone client. I think that's pretty cool.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun to see what happens. I don't know how much I'm planning on following it, but it definitely sounds interesting. I like to have all the modes incorporated, right? Like we've made all the modes. We might as well play them all, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And although Rip Arena. Yeah. Not Arena. Wait. What's the word? As
yeah. No, Arena. It's Arena.
Arena. Okay. Oh man. The brain is going, y'all. It's.
Is that that one mode that shows up one time a year around now when they have like the cool costumes and stuff? That's that mode, right?
That's that mode. Yeah. Dual class Arena is best Arena. Can confirm.
Yeah. Yes, I kid. I do love the dual arenas, though. They're always fun. It'll be really interesting to see. But, you know, we'll have some more changes leading into next week. I don't anticipate there's going to be, like, balance changes anytime soon for Mercenaries. But maybe more bug fixes, you know, more things like that that we can definitely talk about. And, you know, keep our eyes on, like, competitive and the ladder, which has kind of been crazy. There's been a couple people now that have passed over 10K rating. So that's going up quick.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay. Anything else that either of you want to add before we go into our closing?
I think that was good for this week.
My This is my last thing, I promise.
Gotcha, gotcha.
So Leaf, who won the No Pros Here tournament, their deck name or comp name was the Non-Binary Finery, and shout out to my non-binary peoples. That was I love seeing the representation.
Yes, that was awesome. I saw that in the Discord too. I was like, oh, they used all characters who are non-binary, and then named it Non-Binary Finery. It was a great name, great comp all around.
So good.
And she performed extremely well with it too. So that was exciting. Anything else from you, Simba?
Not for this week. Hopefully I'll have a lot more next week as I get a bunch of, you know, my mercenaries to 30, actually hit the PvP. Check out the news on the tournaments. But this past week, and I was out of town on the weekend, and it feels like I've just been grinding a few mercenaries up. So the news, I did, you know, have all the stuff with the news, but I haven't played a ton.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll have weeks like that. That's okay. But, you know, to go into our closing for the week, if you want to find more on the show, you can find the show on YouTube, everywhere that you can find audio podcasts, and on Twitter at Spirit Healer Pod. You can email us at spirithealerpodcast@gmail.com and join our discussions in our Discord, and we'll have that linked as well. You can find that on our social medias. We also want to thank Purple Cat for the use of the amazing music that we use for the show. And to find more from each of us, you can find me on Twitter at DonnieDK. That's DawnieDK. And Twitch and YouTube, DragonRiderDK. And where can folks find you, Cinder?
Just Twitter. That's where I live. It's at CinderAscendant.
And Simba.
Hi, you can look me up on pretty much any social media, Twitch included. Simba with two eyes, TV underscore, and then things like Discord and links to the Instagram and everything like that is all below the Twitch if you just want to one-stop shop that.
One-stop shop. I like it. Well, talking about that, we hope that you have enjoyed this show as your one-stop for all the Mercenaries news, and thank you for choosing us as your resting place of choice.